My name is Graham, as Rob just told you there. For those of you who don't know, it's not just coincidence that I look like Rob. I'm actually his brother. The younger brother. Not everybody says that, actually, which is very annoying. I'm constantly being asked who's older. And the people are sort of apologising when they're asking because they think I'm older. So it's always a bit annoying. But anyway, it helps to be much more talented. So tonight we are going to look at a passage called Isaiah 43, and in particular verses 1 to 13. I am going to ask you to open that up shortly, but you can do it now if you want. But we're going to look at a passage in Genesis just before we go on to look at Isaiah. But that's really what the heart of tonight's talk is about, is Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 13. So if you want to have a thumb on that. But maybe you might join me in praying before I speak, so that we can ask God to anoint my words and that all of us would receive tonight in a way that we walk out of here changed for the better, in more likeness of Jesus. So if you can, please join with me and we'll pray. Father God, you are great, you are awesome, you are love. We ask you, Father God, just to minister to our hearts today through your word. Bring alive, Father God, the passages that we look at. Speak to us, Father God, as individuals. And I pray, Father God, that you would help soften our hearts that we may respond to you. I pray, Father God, that you break down any barriers now preventing that. Amen. So, have you ever thought what's in a name? Have you ever considered the importance of a name? It's been on my mind quite recently, because this morning we christened my youngest daughter. So with that, you have the tradition of the priest or whoever's in charge saying, I baptize you in the name of, and that didn't happen today, but for me that's the way I was reared, is this idea of, you know, the priest going, I baptize you, and that's when you get the name. And so for me, for the last few weeks in preparing for the christening, I've been thinking about names and the importance of names. So our youngest daughter is called Amelia, and I looked up her name recently to find out what it meant, so we probably should have done that before we named her. But Just the internet wasn't invented. So there was no such thing as Google. So, yeah, because she is 10 months old. So I looked up her name, and her name means adventurous, which I was very surprised at, because I always thought her name was a little bit more sort of ha-ha-ha, friendship or something. But, like, it was industrious. So that was a bit of a surprise. But I suppose pleasant enough, because I would hold value to that. But I do believe that it's too early for any of us to establish whether or not Amelia matches that description and whether her personality will match up to that name. Although it has to be said, she does have a very strong work ethic when it comes to nappies. So I think there's definitely something in there. But for now, her name is Amelia, and she is unique. She is unique, and she is called Amelia. For me, as 33 years old, I definitely think that we can all form an opinion now whether or not my personality matches up to the meaning of my name. And for those of you who know me, I would certainly value that opinion after we finish tonight. And for those of you who don't know, my name means gravel area. Or alternatively, it means grey homestead. So I'm very excited by that. and certainly have been thanking my parents ever since. I remember a few years back, I helped out in a camp, Barrettstown. Does anyone know that, for sick kids? It's an amazing, special place. It really is. It blew my mind. It really did, and I would recommend everybody to get down there because that's a place of hope. But on that trip, I came across a gentleman who was a baker, and his name was Pat. I thought that was hilarious. For those of you who are not from the area or from Dublin or haven't lived here that long, we have bread called Pat the Baker. So that was great, you know, to meet Pat eventually. And he actually lived on Baker Street, which was ridiculous. That's absolute truth. He lived on Baker Street. His name was Pat the Baker. He lived on Baker Street. So I just think that is amazing. So that's funny, his name, you know. And the other one that came across was yesterday, the guy who now is the fastest man ever on record, who won the 100 metres in the Olympics, and his surname is Bolt. I thought that was good as well. But how about some characters from the Bible? How about the significance of names with the people that we know from the Bible? Famous people that we've probably all been reared up, listened to their stories. How about Saul? He's a very well-known guy in the Bible and certainly has great significance. He, as we all know, or perhaps you don't know, had a dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus, where he met Jesus in a very powerful way. And eventually he responded to Jesus and accepted him as his Lord and Savior, and his name was changed to Paul. There's no definite reference point in the Bible as to when that happened, but we can take it that it was probably around the time that he accepted Jesus as a Savior and he renounced the error of his ways. It's worth noting, though, just as a side, that Saul actually means prayed for. It means prayed for, and I think it's very interesting to think and to remember the story of Saul and what happened to him, that it was lovely to think that there was people or a person praying for Saul somewhere that eventually led to him making the decision that he made. So I love to think that his name has been prayed for and then remembering what happened to him. Or how about another guy in the Bible, Jacob? Jacob, again, very, very famous guy. I think all of our grandfather, is he? Are we all related to him eventually? Yeah, somehow. That's lovely. So Jacob, again, very, very famous guy who did have his name changed also through the course of history. But Jacob, remember this. Jacob was a man when he was called Jacob, a man who tricked his father into giving him the inheritance that his brother deserved. So he's a man who deceived his own brother. And his name means grasps at the heel. Or else another definition for Jacob is deceiver or supplanter. Somebody who uses force or scheme to replace replace another. So through his own scheming, through his own plans, he got himself into the place of another who had rightfully every intention to be there. But his name was changed to Israel. So his name was changed to Israel. And Israel, when we're looking at Jacob as a man, means struggles with God. But as a nation, Israel can be defined as strength of God or wisdom from God. So we see in Jacob a man who's had his name changed. His name changed from deceiver to strength of God. So with that in mind, you might please turn with me to Genesis 32, verse 24, which is on page 36 of the red Bibles that should be on your chair. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. The thing that jumps out at me most is the question that he is asked, what is your name? And in Jacob's response, it is not just a straightforward answer, it is a confession. It is a confession as to the man that he is and the way that he has led his life because of the meaning of his name. Jacob, up to that point, is a man of deceit, a man who relies on his own strength for his own gain. So therefore his answer is a confession. My name is Jacob. I am a deceiver. But the response from the man is, your name is no longer Jacob. Your name will now be Israel. So it is worth looking at how his name, or why his name changed from Jacob to Israel. And I believe it is because, if we take it that the man he was wrestling with was God himself, Jacob, probably for the first time in his life, acknowledged God as the source of blessing, acknowledged God as the source of life, confessed the error of his ways, and acknowledged God as the source of blessing. And God's response was, your name is now Israel. Strength of God, wisdom from God. So something has shifted inside of Jacob to make him change from being a man who relies on his own strength, his own ways, to one that relies on God, who seeks the wisdom of God. And from that point on, he is known as Israel. God is the source of blessing. The question for us is, do we acknowledge that? Sitting here tonight, do we acknowledge God as the source of blessing? I'm going to ask Paddy to come up and to read to us from Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 13, which is page 728.
Okay, so we're on page 728. Is everyone there? Isaiah 43. Okay. Graham asked me to read this out about 2 minutes ago, and I'm blown away because God spoke this to me some years ago, and it's been a great reminder of what God is going to do. So for me personally, this is... it's quite powerful. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men an exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together, and the peoples assemble. Which of them foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it?
But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. Jacob is a man in transition. He is a man who has gone from one of deceit to one who relies on God's strength and God's wisdom. The transition in Jacob's character is what interests me. It's the transition from Jacob to Israel that gets my attention. It's the transition from Jacob to Israel that challenges me as a man today. What does it take to go from Jacob to Israel? What does that transition look like from Jacob to Israel? Jacob was a man who relied on his own strength. Israel means God's wisdom. Jacob was a man who was cunning. He was scheming. It was his own plot. He was the master of his own destiny. It sounds very familiar to me, unfortunately. And through that type of scheming and cunningness, all there is earthly inheritance. That's all there will ever be available. And it's empty. There's nothing to it. It's a greasy pole. I've climbed it and I'm fallen off and I've climbed it and I'm continuing to climb. It's a greasy pole. It's an earthly inheritance. There's nothing in it if it's off my own strength. But when Jacob was transferred, when he went through that transition to Israel, it's when all of a sudden his reliance was on his creator, on his God that created him for an intention, for a purpose. All of a sudden, he was the man that God intended him to be. And his reliance shifted from himself to God. And through that, he receives a heavenly blessing. Because two things: he confessed and he acknowledged God as the source of blessing. In verse 1, there is a deliberate difference between the reference to Jacob and Israel. Jacob was created, Israel was formed. Can we all see that? Jacob was created and Israel was formed. The emphasis here is on Jacob as a man being physically created, But it's Israel that has the character formation. There's something shifted in Jacob's character that has allowed his name being changed from Jacob to Israel. The emphasis is physical creation and character transformation. Every one of us is created by God. You can deny it, you can accept it, but the truth stands that everyone is created by God. All are called into relationship with God. But not everyone hears the call. Today, I stand before you with a word of encouragement that is very strong in my heart that says, we are created by design, but we are formed by choice. We cannot take away from the fact that we are created, but we can determine our future by our choices. It is our character that matters now. We're created, that's done. It's our character is in the process of formation. We are created by design, but we are formed by choice. What do we choose? My way or God's way? I stood in this church about, I think it was probably maybe 7 years ago, and I'd been coming on and off for a while, and I certainly had an interest in what was going on. I would say now that God was working in my life, but then I would not have recognized that. I was coming because I was going out with someone that came here. She's now my wife, so way. So it works, lads. Stick at it. Keep coming. But I remember one Sunday, I'll never forget it, and I always struggled with this question of when did you become a Christian, and I didn't want to answer because I was thinking I was always a Christian, I'm just now sort of living it out. But there was a distinct time in my life that I can now say with maturity that something shifted in my heart. And it was when I stood up here after somebody spoke about something, and I actually stood beside Rob, and Rob was up receiving prayer, and he turned around to me and he said, "What are you doing here?" Because it was a bit of a shock, because I wasn't particularly receptive to the whole thing, even though I was coming through the doors. So it's a lesson for us all there. But so he turned around and he said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I don't know." So Rob turned to me and he prayed, and I think he was a little bit nervous because he knew me so well. So he was praying, but then all of a sudden someone came over and just put their hand on my shoulder and whispered the words into my ear, "God, make him the man that you intended him to be." And all of a sudden, just the whole thing just changed. It was amazing. I ended up in the toilet at the back of the church in tears. Why? Because somebody had spoken truth into my heart. But that was the start, you know. It's now a process, and what do I do with that? You know, through the process of maturity, you got to look at yourself and you got to say, well, hang on now, I am a new creation, but I am being continually transformed into that. So the prayer was said, "God, make him into the man that you intended him to be." But that is a process that's going on. It's not, it didn't finish that day, it started that day. I'm in the middle of it. I'm struggling now. I'm happy now. I'm up and down. But so therefore, it's a process. And another story of prayer in this church is quite recently, just to encourage you on the point that it is a process, is I was standing here this time, and I was in a hard place of just not really being able to receive or hear from God, and just struggling with that. So I knew to come up for prayer, but I didn't know what was going to happen, and I didn't really understand, but I just knew that I had to be in a place of someone had to pray for me. And that's the honest response, the cry from your heart of just help. And if any of you are in that place now, tonight, I encourage you to come up tonight and just be prayed for. But I stood there, and there was a sense of pride in me that, like, why was I in this place all of a sudden? You know, from appearances, the guy looks successful. He's got a wife, he's got kids, he's doing well in work. Why then could I suddenly end up in a place of just, you know, just dryness, I suppose? I don't know. It just happens. But I'm standing there, and a guy is praying for me, and he's praying for me, and he's praying for me, and he takes a leap of faith. And he just says to me, "Will you just get on your knees?" And all of a sudden, again, poof, I fell to my knees and the blessing just fell on me. And all of a sudden I was in a place, I remember the words in my head were, "I don't want this to end. I can't face getting up and going out." Because that was the place of meeting my Creator, where He was blessing me. But how did I allow that happen? Surrender. I kneeled. I kneeled, and that was a physical act that represented a shift in my heart. I kneeled before God, which was a breaking of my pride. It was my pride that was stopping me receive a blessing. How stupid am I? My own pride stopping me receive a blessing from my Creator. was the shift from my head to my heart that allowed me to drop from my knee to my knees. And interesting enough, it's not that much, it's very similar distance, the distance from your head to your heart as it is the knees to your ground. So it's that physical act of my knees dropping that I received in my heart a blessing from my Creator. And I thank God for both of those men who spoke with faith and also with serious diligence in their prayers. And they were really pushed in and said things that really helped me. So it's in that heart of surrender that we receive. It's that heart of surrender that changed Jacob to Israel. It's through a heart of surrender that we choose to allow God work in our lives, and through that, He is forming our character. The intention of creation is to glorify God, but we are made with free will, so the extent as to which we glorify God depends on our choices. Do we allow God shape and form us? Are we open to God working through our lives and in our character? It is the physical act of kneeling that is a symbol of adoration, praise, and thanksgiving for God. It is the physical act of kneeling that is a reflection of the process in my heart of surrender. I kneel before the King because I'm handing my life over to Him. It is a mirror image of what is going on in my heart. The process of kneeling, the shift in my head to my heart, the breaking through of pride. It is the softening of my heart that allowed God work for me to receive and enjoy His blessing, because this is the point, it's a dynamic. There's a dynamic in me giving over and surrendering my life to God, because then I will receive, because He is in control again. It is when we surrender that we have the ability to hear. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. It is the heart of surrender that gives us the ability to hear. When you pass through waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So it's the heart of surrender that allows us to hear those words. But it leaves us with the question, why then sometimes can we not hear? And the answer to that question is in our actions and in our thoughts and in our omissions. When we act in a way that creates a barrier between us and God, we are then in a place of not being able to hear. When we do something or don't do something that creates a barrier between us and our Creator, the blessing will not flow. We can live our lives and we can listen, but not hear. We can live our lives and see, but not perceive. We can live our lives and experience, but not understand. In John 8, verse 47, it says, "The reason you do not hear is because you do not belong to God." We are created by God, but we choose to be in relationship with Him. And that's what the writer means, in that you don't belong to God. There's a barrier. We have acted in a way, or we have not acted in a way, that resulted in a barrier acting between us and God. That is not a judgment by me, it is a truth. And it's something that we need to grapple with, and we need to take on face first in order to move on. As individuals and as a church, this is where the rubber hits the road. Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. You don't have to go there. But just if you want to, I'm just calling it out so that people can listen to it again if they need to. Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. He said, this is Isaiah's commission. This is the words that God is speaking to Isaiah where he has to go to the people. He said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but not perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Matthew 13, verses 13 and 15. This is Jesus quoting Isaiah. So Jesus, in effect, is speaking his own words. Jesus is God. These are God's words. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has been calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. It's this process of turning that is tough. It's the struggle of turning that is tough. It's the struggle of going to your knees that is tough. It is a nightmare. I don't understand why it's so hard. I think it's because character is formed in that time of struggle with God. That's what God's interested in, is our character. Because we have been created, now it's how much do we glorify him. So the question is, tonight is, you know, for us, can we turn? Can we turn? God had a name for Jacob and also for Saul, but he only revealed their true names to them when their hearts were right before him. And it was a heart of confession and humility. Their obedient response to God's call on their lives at that time allowed them to receive God's blessing and their characters renewed. We live as a people, but our intention is to live as God's people. And we have an intention to live as God intended us to be, as people who are called by his name. In Acts, chapter 3, verse 19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. So I can just remind you again that you're looking at a man who continually struggles to get on his knees. And I pray for God's grace for me and for all of us here, that we may receive these words and turn and be healed, because God wants to bless us. It's God's heart to bless us. God is good. And God wants us to turn from him, so that we turn to him, so that we can hear those words, "You are mine." I thought perhaps now we could just take a time to reflect on these words and leave some space to respond. I pray for courage, I pray for wisdom, and perhaps maybe either Tim or else John, whoever wants to just play some instrumental at the back, might just go up on stage, just one of you, and just to play some music would be great. Thanks very much. And if I can ask all of us just to perhaps respond to this. I've got some questions that I'd love to read out. And this is by way of encouragement. So please take time in your response to these questions. They're not to be answered out loud, but they're just to be sort of spoken just in your heart, by way of just testing where you're at with God right now. Because remembering that God is of the heart to bless, and God is good. So if I can ask everybody, perhaps we could stand actually, would that be okay? If I can ask people to stand. And just as Tim's playing there, we just ask the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, please be with us here tonight now. It's you, Holy Spirit, that will minister to us. It's you, Father God, that is the source of all blessing. It is us, Father God, that is in need of a Savior. And I pray, Father God, that you speak to us all now with these questions, Holy Spirit. I pray that you send out your word. So I'm just going to ask a few questions just slowly, and just consider the response in your heart. Do you believe and trust in God, the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist? God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again. Trust in God, the Holy Spirit, who gives life. Repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbor. Do you turn to Christ as Savior? Do you submit to Christ as Lord? Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. What
or who are you allowing yourself to be formed by?